Welcome to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner. Carrie believes if you want to experience clarity in business and in life, then discovering who you are, why you're here, and where you're going is a must. The Igniting Souls podcast is dedicated to help you do just this. And now, here's Carrie.
You have a fantastic story. We're going to be talking all about how to keep the faith when you experience unchosen suffering. Explain to people what chosen suffering is and what unchosen suffering is.
I think if we live long enough, you live long enough and you'll experience both at some point, right? We know it's not if, it's when. And unchosen suffering. So these are terms that I've deemed because I've experienced both. So chosen suffering, I think, is something that anybody that climbs high in anything is going to experience. It's something that you cause. But the suffering I'm talking about would be sacrifice, love, right? The synonym for those things. So throughout life, when I look back at my life, I reflect on times when I caused suffering. I put myself in discomforting situations, right? Challenging situations, and that's chosen suffering. So I could reflect on a number of times when there was chosen suffering. But there's something about chosen suffering that leads us to a certain place. But there's a peak to it.
Okay.
At least in my life, I found a peak to. What chosen suffering can do for me. Now, at the age of 36 is when I experienced unchosen suffering. And unchosen suffering is simply, right, it's just something that you didn't ask for. You don't want any part of it. I wasn't seeking it, but it happens, right? So we're all right now living in a time where there's some unchosen suffering all around us, right? So what do you do in that situation? So unchosen suffering are just things that occur that we want no part of. And for me, I was a 36-year-old man when I didn't deem it as unchosen suffering at 36, right? This is years later when you reflect back on situations. It's like, wow, I learned this from chosen suffering, but what would I call this tragedy? This tragedy was clearly unchosen suffering. Mm. And unchosen suffering brings us to our knees. I would say unchosen brings us to our knees. Chosen suffering for me personally never brought me to my knees. It caused pain. And I would say the difference would be one was a kick to the gut in a good way. Like, oh, I needed that kick to get
right
for me. Chosen suffering caused the pains. The sensation would be like a kick to the gut, but unchosen, it was like a drilling through your bone.
Wow.
And I would say that's the difference between what I've experienced and chosen versus unchosen.
All right. Well, let me set this up, folks, by the way. Tom has a book coming out. It's called Chosen Suffering. In fact, that's where you can get the free chapter right now. It's not out yet. Go to chosensuffering.com. But I think wrestling, I mean, I was a wrestler. I was not a good wrestler like you, Tom. But I'll tell you what, man, that sport, more than any other sport, is all about chosen suffering. I mean, you see young men every single day go through the most extreme forms of punishment. The practices are brutal. The weight cutting is intense. And yet it's almost like they develop this hunger for suffering. Why would someone choose suffering? Let's first talk about chosen suffering. Why does an extreme high performer choose suffering?
Because I think we know that in the difficult moments is when we learn the most, right? And when in the challenging moments, when I look back on my life, I'll give an example of the first time I experienced chosen suffering. A guy named Jay Robinson. He was a head coach at University of Minnesota. He was a Green Beret. He was an Olympian, and he ran these wrestling camps. Now I was in eighth grade. I kind of just started wrestling, and I thought I knew what hard work was, right? I thought I knew what suffering was, right? And you know, to me at the time, probably a 4 or 5 mile run would have been chosen suffering.
Yeah. Right?
So I'm in seventh, eighth grade, and I love this. I fall in love with the sport, and I want to be elite at it. I make up my mind very young that I want to be elite at it. So I sign up for this camp. It's a 28-day camp.
28-day camp.
Yeah, it's a 28-day camp. It's four workouts a day. It was called the Iowa Intensive Wrestling Camps. And when Jay left University of Iowa, moved on to Minnesota, they became the Jay Robinson Intensive Wrestling Camps. And this is a legacy for him. He's changed so many lives by teaching a threshold of discomfort that you have to learn to be stoic in, that you have to learn to be able to display intelligence, emotional control, common sense in the midst of it. So I choose these camps and I go there for 28 days. And I remember flying home when I landed, my dad picked me up and he said, "Do you want to, how was it?" I said, "Dad, it was so hard," right? It was so much, I didn't use the word suffering ever at the time, but I do now. It was so hard.
So much pain, yeah.
So much pain, right? It was so much pain in it. He said, "Do you want to go back next year?" And I said, "Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I do not want to go back next year." So the summer, it's a month long during the summer. It's all of June. July, I'm still wrestling, running, but I learned how to work at a different level. So fast forward, the wrestling season comes around. The wrestling season comes around, and I'm wrestling with people that had beaten me,
okay,
no longer beating me. People that beat me by 15 or really badly are now beating me by one. People that I was beating by one, I'm now beating by 15. So when I connected, right, it's just common sense. You connect, well, what made the difference? I mean, they're a year older. I'm a year older. How is it that I made these gains and passed some of these people by? And basically, it was pain. It was suffering. It was choosing to work at a level that most people, quite frankly, don't want to work at.
Exactly.
There's an element of society that has put a ceiling on themselves for whatever reason. Right? In our job, your job, Igniting Souls, is to say, get rid of the ceiling. Why are you putting that ceiling on you? And ultimately, for me, what suffering became, it was an element of my life that I trusted. And trust is the key to everything, right? Trust, there is limited. We say this a lot to our student athletes at Ohio State. Until there's full trust, progress does not move the way you want it to move, right? So once you trust, I trusted in discomfort. And once I trusted fully in it, things started to really happen for me in this sport.
Man, that is so good. So what made you come back the second year? I mean, you told your dad no, but then you came back again. What went through your head?
You know, it was simply, you know, to me, it was a logical decision, right? You want X, you want to go in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it that gave you an advantage over others? What was it that helped you progress, and that was the camp, right? That was, you know, the camp is 120 workouts, right, in 30 days. In a high school wrestling season, you'll have 120 workouts, right? So that was one of the things for me that really changed me. But the thing also, it wasn't only from a wrestling standpoint. It was in the back of your mind, you now trust the value in just doing things that some people aren't willing to do. I mean, a lot of people aren't willing to do that. And the value in, well, why are you going to do that? Part of it is you. A lot of people around me aren't willing to do it, so that's one reason. But the main reason is for me to reach my full potential. Once I trusted it, progress happened for me at a really, really fast rate.
Well, let's talk about this, Tom. First of all, thanks for being here. There's a lot of people being blessed. We're going to get into the story about your son and unchosen suffering in a moment. But let's talk about leveling up, because there's a lot of people here who are authors, or coaches, mm-hmm. or speakers, they're entrepreneurs. And I just heard you talk about how most people don't want to do certain things. You know, most people say they want to write a book, 82% of the population, but 99% of them never do. Why? Because it's tough. You know, it's tough. You know that. You and Kirsten are working on that book.
Yeah.
We get to publish it. We're so excited. And folks, by the way, again, I'm just going to ask my team, drop in the link for Tom's book. We want everybody to get a free chapter tonight, unchosensuffering.com. It's how to become elite in life and leadership or something like that. It's amazing. I love it. I mean, I've been reading it. That's why I can recall these stories. But there was a time where you were not an Iowa wrestler. You were kind of in a comfortable team. And then you said, I want to be part of Iowa, which was the legend back then. You've since beaten Iowa, which I'm so glad the Buckeyes did. And what'd you win, 2015 national champion?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, and a lot of Big Ten championships. But let's talk about that, because you were in a safe, comfortable, you were the top dog at your school, but you said, I got to get around more elite people. And I think right now there's people watching this live stream and they're realizing, you know what, I'm not elite in my faith with God. I'm not elite in my business. I'm not elite in my marriage, which we just heard from Dan and Joanne. What makes someone say, I'm going to get in a car and go see Dan Gable? I mean, tell that story, first of all.
Yeah, so I think this is well documented. I would say that that the single greatest, right, the single, and you know, I'm talking to Chet a lot, who helps lead us.
Chet Scott, amazing guy.
Chet Scott, really amazing leader. And he says it, but it just confirms what I believe, and that's that there is no greater gift one man can give another, one human being can give another, than belief, right? Wow. Well, the thing for me, I had that growing up, right? I grew up in a home. Not everybody has what I had growing up. We didn't have much monetarily, mm-hmm. but I had all the things that if I listed the priceless traits that you need to climb high on this earth, I had all those growing up. I had a mother that loved me dearly. She was honest with me, truth with me. I had a brother that was honest with me. I was in a loving home. I was believed in. I was never put down. I was never told you can't. I have a father that had such incredible belief in me. I had a stepfather that was so good to me. So I was just raised in a home where there was never you can't, right? So I had so much belief, and I believed in me because everyone around me did, right? Now it's amazing. The stories that are amazing is when some people find the way to believe in themselves, which, why would you not believe in yourself? Like it's an illogical thing. It's like the boogeyman. Why would you believe in the boogeyman? Because at some point in time, you know, I mean, I used to sleep in my bed like this, wondering, you know, if you're going to get me on either side. It's illogical. It's illogical to not believe, but the world beats us down. It causes something in our brain that says you can't. So for me, I never had that. So I went to Syracuse. My brother and I were roommates. He was in his second year at Syracuse. I went to Syracuse. We were roommates. We were training partners. You know, he's now the chairman of DLA Piper, one of the top law firms in the country. He's a super successful guy. He was very positive, and we were teammates for 2 years. And after my sophomore year, he had like a 4.0 in finance. He was going to law school. And I say jokingly, when he was reading, I was running. And that was the difference between he and I. Not that he didn't run, but he was always reading and studying, and he was such a studious person. So after my sophomore year at Syracuse, I was like, Frank, I'm going to leave. I always had this pull to Iowa. I'm going to transfer. Call mom, call dad, go. They didn't say, hey, you're on a full scholarship, son. How are you going to pay for it? They didn't say any of that. They just, look, if I have to take out loans, I'll take out loans. Dad can help. We'll find a way. I'm going.
Wow.
My brother said go. So I literally packed my stuff at Syracuse, drove across the country, moved into a hotel, and practice was, I knew the area, right? Because I spent 28 days out there, three summers of my high school life. So I ran all the streets. I knew where I was relative to the university. So I go out there, and I'm in the wrestling room, and the thing, back to trust, right?
Yep.
The trust. So the head coach there won every single Big Ten championship he coaches. His name is Dan Gable. I know you're a wrestler. I said, you know who he is. But he won, I think, 27 in a row Big Ten title. He won 21 national titles. So the thing that he had immediately was my trust. His word was the law. And when you have full trust, progress happens. When you don't have full trust, it's just slow. So I move out there. First day of practice, I'm sitting in the corner of the wrestling room. He comes over to me, Dan Gable. He's my God. At this point in time in my life, this is God, right, to me. So he said, who are you? And I said, I'm Tom. I wrestle at Syracuse, and I'm going to transfer and wrestle for you next year. And he said this to me. He said, Tom, okay, you're not going to get any better sitting there. go wrestle these two guys. And he put me with these Steiner brothers, who I didn't know who they were. I didn't know anybody in the team.
And it's Tom and Terry Steiner. Is that
yeah, it was Terry and Troy.
Terry and Troy. Okay.
The Steiner brothers.
Yep. So I heard about them. Yeah, they're a legend. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're both, I mean, four-time All-Americans, national champs. Terry Steiner is now the women's Olympic coach. And Troy Steiner is now the head coach at Fresno State. So they beat me unmercifully. Right. And they just killed me in front of Gable. Now I got another dose of perspective, right? What I thought I was doing in Syracuse was good. I prided myself on being fit and tough and resilient. But when I met with these two fellas in the wrestling room, they proved how far I had to go. And that was that chosen suffering. And it's a crossroad, right? Every person on this call has had them. Anybody watching, anyone in life you have crossroads. So I grab my stuff after practice. I'm humiliated. I'm embarrassed. I got beat unmercifully. And I carry my stuff all up the steps of Carver Hawk Arena. I sit in my car. It's a warm summer day. I'm a 20-year-old man. And I just start crying, and I'm crying uncontrollably. I was completely humiliated, beaten. And I thought to myself, maybe I should just go back. Just go back. I just got there. Just go back and go. But there was something in me that just said, look, you said you wanted this. You said you wanted this. Wow. This is the price you have to pay. So I stayed. And in staying, it changed my life, right? It completely changed my life. It was a crossroad, and I met some amazing people, and they lifted me, and the rest is kind of history. So I ended up helping the team and making the team. And, you know, I was thinking, I'm sure that, you know, Gable, and this is so powerful for people. I don't know what Gable was thinking. I don't know what he was thinking. He was probably thinking he's never coming back. He got beat unmercifully.
Yes.
Right? So we should never allow ourselves to be measured by what others think.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately what he was thinking, it wasn't something in my mind at the time I was thinking about. Well, now I look back and I'm thinking, what was he thinking? What was he thinking?
Yeah.
Like, what were we even thinking?
But that was the critical point in your life. I mean, if you would have said, screw it, I'm out of here, and you drove back to Syracuse, you would not be the same man.
Right. Agree. No, if I didn't go through it, it would have completely changed me there's no question about it, right? So
there's people watching this right now, and they're in a tough situation. One of the ladies we heard had $38 left in her checking account, and she lost all of her job. Another lady we're going to hear from in a few days lost $50,000 overnight. There's people that are having their own Terry and Troy Steiner brother moment where they're getting beat, they're getting humiliated. Maybe some people lost their job this week. And we know, Tom, that was chosen suffering, because you said, I'm signing up for this. Some of these people didn't sign up for the coronavirus. In fact, I don't think any of us did. Let's get to the point where we talk about Teague, because you just said, I was a guy who thought Dan Gable was my God. You did meet the real God, but tell us how you met the real God. What, give us the backstory.
Yeah. So, you know, as I said, I think, you know, chosen suffering took me to a certain place, right? You know, not winning a state championship, getting, not winning a national title, right? Things, wrestling never brought me to my knees. It was painful. Not attaining what you want and work for is painful, but it's chosen suffering brought me to a completely different place. Like I said, the level of pain would be the difference between a kick in the gut and a bone, your bones being drilled into, right? So what happened, life was great, right? Life was great. I wasn't leading an unfaithful life. You know, I don't just, God wasn't necessarily something I thought about all the time. Mm-hmm. I had a wife, I had four kids, life was going well. And it was President's Day, February 16, 2004, is when I experienced unchosen suffering, but it made me see the world through a different lens. So my four kids, my oldest son was Jordan, Jake, Teague, and then my daughter was Mackie, so I had 3 and 1. Mm-hmm. They come to work with me. At the time, I'm the head wrestling coach at Hofstra University. I'm married, I got two cars. I got a pool. You know, we're paying the bills. Life's going good. I'm focused on winning a championship with this team and just coaching. And life's good. On February 16th, my kids are playing with me. That night, around 5 o'clock, we're done playing. We head home. We get back to the house. I had a meeting that night with my booster club. I called the head of the booster club, said, hey, man, it was a long day with the kids. Dinner's on the table. We're going to stay. We have a nice family dinner. In the midst of the dinner, dinner ends and Teague, who's five, was voted. I think I got if I move this a little bit, I think that's him up in the
back. Oh, yeah, that's him. Yep, exactly.
So, you know, he was chosen just to shower first. And he's pissed and he's running around the house. Anyway, my wife is chasing him. We're laughing, right? And she finally grabs him. When she grabs him, I consider myself an extremely honest, normal person, very normal. When he was lifted by his mother, something overwhelmed me. I was at the head of the table. I watch it happen. And I'm hit with something. At the time, I don't know what it is. She carries him to the back of the house. Now I believe it was God saying, get ready. You know, I am not causing this, but I'm going to allow this. She's in the back of the house. She starts screaming. He's not breathing. He was healthy. He could do 10 pull-ups. He could wrestle me. He was the coach's son, right? He was the coach's son. He was at my heels all the time running. So she brings him. I run in the back of the house. I grab him. I throw him on the coffee table. He has no pulse. He's not breathing. I start pumping on his chest, breathing in his mouth. 14 minutes go by. My wife calls the ambulance. My 11-year-old son, my 8-year-old son, my 3-year-old daughter, they're watching me work on him. They're screaming, please, Dad, please. What's wrong with him? The ambulance finally arrives. They pick him up. They run him in the ambulance. My wife and I jump in the car. We head to the hospital. An hour later, surgeons come out. My family's gathered. Two things happened on the way to the hospital that stick out to me. The first thing that happened is I called my older brother and said, Frank, listen, something happened to Teague. He passed out. I don't know what happened. He's on the way to this hospital. Can you let the family know? We had 7 kids in the family. Let everyone know. Here's where we're going to be. Second thing that happened is my wife and I, who had never prayed together before, we started to pray. I grew up Catholic. I kind of knew it was a God, but I didn't have time for him. You know, I was busy. Mm-hmm. And we started to pray. We get to the hospital. About like an hour and a half went by. We're waiting in the ER. And unthinkable, this isn't going to happen, right? For me, there were guarantees. Right? There's guarantees in life. You work hard, you got a good chance of doing well. Your children bury you. You don't bury your children. So the surgeon comes out and he says, Mr. and Mrs. Ryan, we're sorry. So here's where my priceless changes. Right? So we all have our pricelesses, right? Webster's definition, so precious its value cannot be determined. Knowing that in our life, there is nothing more important than knowing what that is. And I think it goes through ebb and flows in our life. At one point, I would have said winning a championship was a priceless to me. But my priceless became, where is he? And here's why. We come home from the hospital. We pull into the driveway. My kids come running out the front door. Where is he? I open the door of my car, and there they are, 3 little kids. And Jake says to me, where is he? As a grown man, 36-year-old man, leading people, I was in coaching for 13 years. I had no idea where he was, right? Carrie, I had no idea where he was. I couldn't answer the kid. So we go in the house and we grieved, right? We spent days and days. This was in the middle of the wrestling season. I didn't go to practice. I'd never missed a practice. I got some perspective in a number of different ways. But ultimately, the foundational piece of my existence began to be, I have to know where he is. There's nothing more important to me than where he is.
Wow. Wow. So Teague's passing at the age of 5, and I know you have a foundation named after him. I mean, he is incredibly significant. But you had never wrestled with the question, where does someone spend eternity?
No, I didn't. You know, like I said, growing up, I'd go to church every week. You know, mom would bring us to church. We'd kick and fight on the way there, and we'd sit in church and do our part and, you know, try to behave. And then we'd go home. And a relationship with Christ was never, it's just not something I ever explored, right? I never had, I never dug deep enough to make a decision on whether or not it was trustworthy.
Mm.
And until he became trustworthy, there's no progress. You know, we're back to the same. I had to believe that he was who he said he was. So the challenge for anybody, like I say this, and I mean this, until you have searched, you have no say on the matter. Right? Until anyone has poured themselves into a certain topic, why should you have any valuable say in the topic? You don't. And I just believe that by the ounce of me. Become an expert in the area, learn as much as you can, and then you have a say. But we know these days everyone has a say, despite the fact that they've never spent a lick in trying to find out the truth. And by the way, Carrie, I wasn't searching for God. I was searching for the truth. And right. I went about it, to me, in a very logical way. I was reading about the
Lee Strobel, right?
Yeah, well, Lee Strobel helped me a ton. But what I did in this phase of my life is I had a piece of paper and I lined it. Gotcha. They're only, I don't know, to me, and maybe the listeners, whoever's listening, could throw some questions out here. Like the question is, what are, I know you know this, because listen, you touched me when you spoke in our church, right? That's, remember when the first time I saw you was in a workout.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I would always see you teach. I like the way you teach. I like the way you taught at church. I'm like, this guy he's logical. He has a logical approach the way he's teaching. I like that. It's common sense. One thing leads to another. Mm-hmm. And then I saw you in the gym downstairs at Chet's house. I'm like, this is the pastor of the church. What's he doing here working out? But until there was, you know, until there was just total trust, you know, until there was total trust for me, it was, I mean, so for me, it was the two options, right? I had to logically look at the two options. Option one is that, listen, and the world is divided. Right? In the options. Now they think there's more options, right? But the option is either there's a God, whatever that God is for you, right? Whatever religion, whatever you believe is God. So you believe in a higher power, or you believe in just evolution, that we were a random chance. And I took a piece of paper and I lined it and I explored evolution and I explored God.
Wow.
I compiled a ton of information. I read a lot of books on God. I watched a lot of DVDs on evolution. And ultimately, for me, Lee Strobel's books, The Case for Christ, The Case for Faith, The Case for Creator, Rick Warren, The Purpose of Life, just a ton of books. I read John. A buddy told me, read John, and you'll get to know. You want to get to know Jesus. Look, don't make a decision on anybody until you spend some time with him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The only way to know who he is spend some time with him. Read about John. If you were gone... Right. If you were gone or I was gone and someone said, what was this dude like? Who is this dude, Karen?
Yeah.
I would go to your wife.
Yeah.
I'd go to your friends. Tell me about him.
Yeah.
Who was he?
Interesting. You
know? So John, what John did for me was John gave me a firsthand account of who he was. And wow. I fell in love with him. And the thing that led me to him the most, more than anything, was love. I mean, I'd never read the way he thought. That's because it wasn't from this place, what he taught and the way he loved. So I was enamored by his love, and I saw there were things I didn't understand in Scripture. There were things I didn't understand, but nothing that, you know, just because you don't understand something doesn't mean it's not true. And but there were things in evolution that I didn't understand, and there were things that just made no sense to me. So ultimately, right, Perry, I have these two lists. There's things in favor of evolution. There's things in favor of God. Right, there's things against evolution. There's nothing against God, but there were some things I didn't understand.
Sure.
And ultimately, I have all this information. What are you going to do with it? You're just going to leave it? It's the single most important decision of our lives. Who are you going to marry? Where are you going to go to school? Where are you going to live? How many kids are you going to have? All big decisions. But is there a bigger decision? You don't leave where your kids are going to go to school alone. I mean, you make a decision. There's a school district, so you move to that district. I just couldn't leave the information where it was. I had to choose, and I chose God. And I chose God because he lifted me. I met him. He lifted me out of a situation that I can't explain. So people say, that's goofy. You're a weirdo. That doesn't make any sense. Listen, I can't explain the truth of what I experienced. You can't deny the truth of what I experienced. He lifted me. He lifted my family.
Yeah.
He changed me. So.
And. We're going to go live with the VIP group here in a moment, but this is so relevant for the current quarantine we're in, because I see, and you, I know you've been following, and let's talk quickly about the blood drive in a moment, because I know you have a big heart to save lives. But there's people who never asked for this to happen. They didn't ask for the stock market. They didn't ask for the virus. They didn't ask to lose their job. And yet I hear you saying, even though you didn't ask for Teague ever to get sick or pass away, God, you said, allowed it. And through that trial, you found your ultimate purpose. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's really, I mean, yeah, that's accurate. And I think it's the one thing of all the things that I do. I've had guys ranked first in the country. They were heavy favorites, not win the Nationals, right? I've seen the market go up and down. If someone told me that the NCAA college basketball championship was going to be canceled a month ago, I would say, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Right. But there are so many things that we hold on to so tightly that are not. There's no guarantee of them.
Oh man,
guarantee of them, right? The only thing that in my life that is a guarantee is that he was who he said he was. It's a rock in my life. He was who he, and that's never going to change.
It's fantastic. So tell us, we're going to do a couple things here in a moment. We're going to give people private access to you to ask questions about being elite in business, being elite in life, coaching at one of the best programs. I think it's the best program on planet Earth. You've coached Olympians, you know, gold medalists. We'll talk about all that in a moment, but I know something's really passionate about in your heart right now about the blood drive and saving lives. You did that recently. Give us the quick story about that, because right now there's something everybody can do. First of all, for their eternity, you know, they can find God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Secondly, they can save lives right now. Tell us about that.
So basically, our senior leaders, you're going to talk to Colin Moore. I don't know when Colin's going to be.
Colin's tomorrow night at 9. Give 30 seconds about Colin.
Yeah, Colin's an amazing human being. I mean, he's a great story. You know, he's a great story of trusting and hard work and character. And he's got a great faith. He's got a great family. He's just a great example for so many people, right? And I think you know, the thing about Colin that his parents, I'm sure, are so proud of, and the thing that for me, that, right, we all want our children to make a difference, right? We want them to make a difference. We want them to leave the world better than they found it. And Teague, the only way for Teague to impact the world is through me telling his story, right? This kid mattered, man. This kid's life had purpose. No one reached me like him. But Colin Moore, you're going to love him. He's funny. Get him to play the guitar and sing a little bit.
Really? All right.
He's a musician. So he's one of my favorites. His family, just spectacular people.
Yeah. But if he didn't have a faith 2 weeks ago, I mean, if I was a 21-year-old kid, yeah, and I trained my whole life for the NCAA, and I was slated to win, and all of a sudden God takes that away, man, I'd be really undone.
Yeah, Colin Moore was the best wrestler in the United States this year. He was fourth, third, and second. He was going to claim what was his, right? He's going to claim that national championship. He was fourth, third, and second. He's going to claim the title this year. And 6 days before the event, a virus sweeps across the country and they cancel the event. It's unthinkable, right?
It is.
He's the number one seed. He wins the Big Tens for the third time. He's the number one seed at the national tournament, and it's over. It just vaporizes. I mean, literally, before all of our eyes, this thing just it vaporizes. And at the time, you don't understand the virus, the severity of it, the fact that how many people, you just don't get it. So it's not making any sense. But the way he handled it, and the thing is, the way he carries himself, that's what he prides himself on. Winning and losing, listen, it's fun to win. It's a lot more fun to win than lose. But that's those things don't define you, right? It's the principles that you live by. This guy lives a principled life. So you're going to have a lot of fun with him. I'm really glad that you're going to have
tomorrow night. Yeah, oh, yeah.
So he and me and myself and Pletcher and the donor that we have, Dave Kent, who's a great guy, you know, we want to help. And we have a lot of energy, and we've been told to not move. And it just doesn't sit well with us. So every day I'm watching my sister-in-law. I'm watching my sister. I'm watching my sister, my daughter-in-law, nurses on the front line, risking their lives. And I'm at home. So ironically, we look at, hey, there's blood needed. There's a serious issue with blood. So now we've got some traction moving with our whole team is doing. We're challenge people. We're trying to get like the water challenge with, I think it was ALF. So,
yes,
you know, so we're trying to get some momentum with go out, get blood taken, put a picture online and challenge everybody. There's a blood shortage. It's safe. You go to redcrossblood.org. It's simple. Redcrossblood.org. You sign up, you find a time, it's safe environment, and go and give some blood, and let's every pint saves three lives. So instead of sitting on my couch, and I can do it again in May. And I'm not a person that likes needles, but I did it anyway.
Yeah, you did. Tom, where can people find out more about you? I know you're active on Instagram, you're active on Twitter. They can definitely, if they live locally, they can come out and support the Buckeye season tickets. ChosenSuffering.com, we mentioned. Is there anything else that people should learn about you or the Buckeyes or anything?
No. We're good, man. Yeah. Yeah, it's good to be with you.
Well, listen, folks, we are going to go VIP status here. We're going to give a backstage access to Tom where you can ask him different questions. We got to give a shout out to Chet. I know we mentioned him a bunch of times, but there's a band of us brothers that hang together. We work out, we cycle, we choose suffering because those workouts are tough, man. And I know, are you getting lit up on by your Facebook? Hopefully you're getting a lot of people loving on you.
No, I don't know.
I think you are. I shared this thing in a bunch of our neighborhood networks because people need help, man. People need help at a time like this.
Yeah, and it's I think that, discomfort and chosen suffering is an interesting term. I mean, it sounds good. It sounds, it's rational. It makes lots of sense until you're in it.
Mm.
You know, when you're in it, it's like, man, I don't want any part of that. I don't want any part of this. You know, it's a fancy term until you're going through it. And I hear people are struggling financially and they're out of work. And I mean, it's just, you know, you go back to, right, when you're in those situations, you go back to show up, right? Show up, do what you can to get yourself back on track, right? Just, you know, my guys on my team that have done well, they just show up every day. They just be there, just be present, right? And handle it just one little piece at a time.
Awesome.
Right, one little piece at a time. And that's not easy to do when you're in the midst of it.
Well, we're gonna all support your book big time. In fact, we want you at Igniting Souls Conference in October, and we're gonna celebrate you, your book, the message of Teague, and that God has for us through that. Folks, we're gonna shut this off. We're gonna go to the VIP group. If you want to get a VIP ticket, again, this entire conference is free. General tickets for the whole world. Share about it. We're inspiring people. We have Clark. Oh, I'm going to announce our big speaker for Tuesday. Clark Kellogg, the voice of March Madness. He's going to be sharing. We have Rachel Peterson, who gets 14 million views a month. We have people that are saying, I see what you're doing with Igniting Souls. I want to be part of it. So, folks, we're going to learn about what post Tom just did in the last couple of weeks that went viral. I still remember the photo. We're not going to give away the secret, but we're going to share about that in the VIP group. So thanks for being here, Tom. And thanks, everybody, for watching. Please tag somebody, share this, and inspire them. And you folks have a fantastic night. We'll see the VIP people in about 5 minutes.
Thanks so much for listening to the Igniting Souls podcast. As a subscriber, we challenge you to be more than just a passive listener. Show up, filled up, and become a member of the tribe. Visit us on the web at carrieoberbrenner.com. Remember, the most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire.